I just showed you a few short things on the Haggadah. Some things we probably did in the past, just be a Chazara, some things. Let's just, one of my favorite ideas in regard to Pesach is the Yachatz. And all of the Haggadahs, I challenge you to find the Haggadah that does not say that Yachatz is part of Holach Na'anya, is part of Magid. Okay, let's review this. So we definitely discussed this in the past. When you begin the Haggadah, what's the Seder Advarim? Kadesh, Urchatz, Karpas, and now you're up to Yachatz. So what do? You take the middle matzah, you have three matzahs, you break the middle matzah. The top matzah is the Koyein, the bottom matzah is the Yisrael, the middle matzah is Levi. Levi was not part of the Shibud. So you take that matzah and you break that matzah and you put away the larger piece of the matzah for the Afikoyimim. Okay, you finished. You've now done.
The Babish breaks it into five pieces.
The Babish, Yudke Vavke. Why five pieces? Whatever. Okay, I'll tell you. Someone told me on Sunday of Vart, I'll just tell you, Derek Hag, someone told me, Vart, why do they have three matzahs? Why do we break the middle matzah? So he said the three matzahs correspond to Shloisha Shutfim Ba'adam. When a person is born, he has three partners, HaKadosh Hashem, and a father and mother. When a person is young, he needs primarily his mother and father, and he needs them. But when a person gets old, Darkoy Shel Olam, a person's parents, they pass on. Who is he left with? The Ribbono Shel Olam. So you put away the middle, the top and the bottom refer to a person's parents. And the middle matzah refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You need HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the beginning of your life as well. But you put away a piece of the middle matzah for later. Because the Ribbono Shel Olam, even though you start out with Shloisha Shutfim Ba'adam, you need all three in the beginning of your life, you're going to need HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the end of your life. It's often. You have to put away HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the end, because Him you always need to come on to. Okay, but we break. I heard this from Pinchas Wallerstein. You know what Pinchas Wallerstein is? He's a Rosh Shiva in Or Yitzchak. He told me this part. Shloisha Shutfim Ba'adam. And when you're young, you need all three. His brother. I think his younger brother. Okay, but in the Haggadah, we do Yachatz. We break the three matzahs. We break the middle matzah. And we put away the larger piece for tzafin for later on. And then, now we begin Magid. It says in almost every single Haggadah today, all the Haggadahs have all the simonim, and it says in big Oseis Gedolos, Oseis Kiddush Levana, big letters you can even see in the dark, Magid. And under the word Magid it says, Ho Lach Ma'anya Di Acho Acholo, I've got the words, Avosana Bi'ardim Mitzrayim, called Dichvin Yesev Yitzchak, called Dichvin Yesev Yesev V'yechol, Hash Tohoch, Lashon Haba Bi'ardi, Arad Yisshol. Holach Ma'anya. So Holach Ma'anya, according to the way the printers of this generation have forced upon us, Holach Ma'anya is the beginning of Magid. So, okay, in the Chanami, there are sources I later came across, there are definitely older sources for this. However, Rabbi Belsky, may he be healthy and strong, he very strongly believes, I heard him say this, that Holach Ma'anya is not part of Magid. Holach Ma'anya is the Amira that accompanies Yachatz.
That's what you're talking about. You're talking about the particular matzah that you just broke.
Well, in a Chanami, but we don't. Until I heard this from him, you don't look at it like that. You break the middle matzah. You make a whole ceremony. You break the middle matzah. You put the big piece of matzah. You put the matzah in a towel, and you put it to the side. And the little children come right away, and they come and they steal it or they play. And then you have a conversation with the family, and everyone first gets to, okay, let's begin Magid. Let's now, everyone, after we've done Yachatz, we're all done already. Let's now begin Magid. Oh, so he holds that as you break the middle matzah, immediately you won't have a break and have a ceremony with the children. That's after you say, when you break the matzah, you're supposed to say Ho Lach Ma'anya. It is the amira that accompanies the achatz. He says that this is a mistake in all the old haggadahs. They did not have the simanim in the haggadah. The haggadah was just the running haggadah. There's the kiddush, the halach ma'anya, you have the manishtana, avadim hayinu, you go through the simanim were added into the new haggadahs in the 20th century by the printers. It's not to be found in the old traditional haggadahs. When Chazal Institute simanim la haggadah, it was an oral simon. It was not a simon that was printed in the haggadah. The printers, by mistake, thought halach ma'anya is the beginning of Magid, so they put the word Magid before halach ma'anya. He holds that it's a toss.
I have a couple of haggadahs that don't say Magid till Manishtana.
Till Manishtana. And Halach Mani is part of Yachatz.
Not, but some do.
Okay, so this is. Or fine, kiholach ma'an. But it's the same idea is when you break the matzah, it is an expression that explains a lot of things. Why is it in Aramaic? Why isn't holach ma'anya in Lashon HaKodesh? So the answer is because it is an expression of frustration. When you break the matzah, what you're really saying is last year, this way he explained, last year, at the end of the Haggadah, you said, Lashon Haba. That was the end of last year's Seder. So you'd expect that this year, we're coming to this year's Seder, we should already be in Yerushalayim. So what happens? You come to the Seder, you make Kiddush, and you take the bread and you say, it's the same bread from last year. Halach ma'an, the same. It's the same bread. It's golos. Aramaic is the language of Golos. Lashon HaKodesh is the language of Eretz Yisrael. Living in Eretz Yisrael, you speak in Lashon HaKodesh. When the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they only spoke Lashon HaKodesh. It's even debatable, they even knew Aramaic. Aramaic became popular when they went into Golos in Bavel. It's the language of Golos. You take, and also, why you bring the matzah? Not, of course, you bring the matzah, you bring it for tzofan, but bringing the matzah is an expression of frustration. Tsar. When you're a minitzar, you break, you destroy, it's a violent act. You begin the Haggadah with violence. Mayor, you like that? It's a violent, it's a very...
God is violent.
You see? I'm a new Haggadah, the violent Haggadah. Emphasize all the violent parts of the Haggadah. You beef it up. It's an expression of frustration. A whole year has passed and we've gone nowhere.
The only time you say Cheres is on Pesach. The second the Seder is over, you're back to Avdus.
Back to Avdus.
2 years Avdus. So of course you're...
It's an expression of frustration. A year has passed, we've accomplished nothing. You break the matzah and you say in the Golis language, Ho Lach Ma'anya. It's the same bread as last year. Same old bread. We have accomplished nothing. Then Tachi, take the pot, you put away for itself, and maybe this year will be better. Maybe this year the matzah will be better. Because that I find. What?
You celebrate
every rest. Everything in the Seder is bittersweet. It's a bittersweet celebration. There is celebration, there is haseba, there are dalakosos, but there's also mourning. We eat the beitzah to remember the churmes hamigdash. We eat maror. What more do you possibly want than maror? There are soul tears, there's charoses, the bricks. Everything we do in the Seder, zecha letid, everything we do, even I once mentioned to you that what? Rabbi Belsky. This idea, Belsky says, the entire Yachatz is not to be viewed, it's to be viewed as a continuation of last year's. Everything in Jewish thought is always cycles. We're always going in from one to the other. The Halachma, the Anya, is really the continuation of last year's Seder. It fits also because the only part of the Haggadah that's in Aramaic is the Chad Gadya. The Chad Gadya, even the Piyutim, the last piyut of the Seder is Chad Gadya. And that's also in Aramaic. And there's a lot of discussion, why is the Chad Gadya in Aramaic? You can easily write the Chad Gadya in Hebrew. So the answer is the Malachim, all these mystical answers. But Pashim Shah, the reason why the Chad Gadya is because Chad Gadya, when the Seder is over, you go back to reality. Lashon HaBa, you see all the Piyutim, and the bottom line is when it's all over, we're still in Golos. And it's still in Golos, you go back to the language of Golos. The language of Golos is Aramaic, and that's why the Seder is over. It's on a low note. It's a disappointment. It's a disappointment. Lashon Haba, the Aradis Shol, but we're still here. Mineila Chad Gadya, we have yet to yearn, yet to come, and therefore we continue with Halach Ma'anya where we left off last year. Okay, this is Rabbi Belsky's interpretation of Halach Ma'anya. What is? Okay, now let's go to another Inyan. this idea of going in cycles. Let's go back to something we discussed yesterday. Yesterday we discussed there are five koisos. Five, really four koisos. It says, v'yitzalti v'gualti v'lokachti. And then there was the hevesi. Some want to suggest that the koishal Eliyahu is the hevesi. It's a suffix in the Gemara. Machlokes the Gemara, do you drink a fifth kos or not? It's a suffix. So therefore we make a pshar. The pshar is, we fill up the fifth kos, but we don't drink it. It's Eliyahu's kos. Eliyahu come and answer the Gemara's question, should we drink El Tishbe Yitaritz Kushis V'Abayis? Okay, that's the similar interpretation all the Svarim tell you about the fifth kos v'hevesi. However, I saw an Haggadah, I don't remember where I saw this, is that it's not the pshat. The fifth kos is not the fifth kos. It's the first kos. It's the first kos of the Geula. That was, we always writing the five. No, it's not five.
It's four plus one.
It's not just 4 plus 1. We're going because Chazal tells us that when Mashiach will come, we're not going to longer say that Hashem who took us out of Mitzrayim. We're going to say that we're going to give Shevach v'Adeg L'Shvaruch Hu who took us out of Golus Edom, and Yitzias Mitzrayim will be secondary, which implies it's a little bit of a stretch that there's going to be a whole new Seder. That when Mashiach comes every year, we're going to have a Seder with four Kaisos, and those four Kaisos are going to commemorate the Geula. The Geula Hasida. What? It's a very fine point, but it's a world of a difference. When you look at the fifth kais, not as the fifth kais. There is no such thing as five kaisas. There are only four lashonis. There's the yotzei, the yotzalti, the galti, the lakachti. No, it's not a vehevesi. We're not. This, the fifth kais, is the new vehoitzeisi. It's the beginning of the second edition of the Hoitzeisi. The second edition of Hoitzeisi is a reference to the Geula Hasida. A very small point, but it makes a...
Going down, the spiritual going down.
So the Hoitzeisi, it's not a Hoitzeisi. It's a new Hoitzeisi, it's a new cycle. We're beginning the cycle again. A new Haskalah, focus on the Hoitzeisi in a different dimension instead of focusing on the Hoitzeisi. Okay, let's go to another idea. This is a short idea, and this made an impression upon me. Baruch Shomer Haftachosai. How does it go in the Haggadah?
Li
Yisrael. And then we go on to say that HaKadosh Baruch was Chishev Es Haketz. Hashem calculated when he to take us out of Egypt. And the Chazal tell us that had we remained in Egypt even for one moment longer, we would have not been able, we would have sunk into the 50th level of Tumah, whatever that means, and we would never be able to be redeemed. Question. Prove it. Prove it to me. And had we stayed in Egypt for one more moment, we would have sunk to such a level where we would not have been able to be redeemed.
That inflation
had 80% of it. Okay, so that's... So what, even the 20%, just because the 20% would have stayed in Egypt for one more moment, really, really, they would have sunk to a level they would not be able to go out of Mitzrayim? How do you know that? Prove it to me. So you don't need any proof. We have Emuna. Baruch Shemer Haftachasa Lishol HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Shemer HaKadosh. What's the proof? So I saw in Haggadah a beautiful Makar. We know that there were two people that did not leave Mitzrayim. Who were they? Dasan V'Aviram. There are many Midrashim. One Midrash says that Hashem said to Moshe, why are you doing this? Why are you taking these children, these pure little children, and letting them die? So Hashem said to Moshe, trust me, these children, nothing will come from. If you don't believe me, I'll let you take any two you want. We'll do Triyas Hanes on any two you want. So Moshe went to the wall, he went to the Nile, wherever it was, and he pulled out two little children who were Dasan V'Aviram, and Hashem said, okay, we'll see what happens to these two children. And sure enough, these two children turned out to be Dasan V'Aviram, and every step of the way, they always gave Moshe Rabbeinu a hard time. Okay, that's a medrash. Let's put that medrash aside. We know Chazal tell us that Dasan V'Aviram chose not to leave Mitzrayim. They stayed on. So that's another Chazal. Paro said you can go, and Dasan V'Aviram were loyal to Paro, even though they were Jews. We're staying. We're going to stay, and that's from Pshat the Pasuk. V'Omar Paro Livnei Yisrael Nevuchim Heimaretz. Rashi says that the grammar of the word Livnei Yisrael does not seem to make sense. V'Omar Paro Livnei Yisrael. They already left. So Rashi says you have to interpret the Pasuk as if it says, al b'nei Yisrael. Parva will say to his advisors concerning the Jewish people. But Chazal is a Chazal. No, the Chazal is. It says that Parva Taka spoke to the b'nei Yisrael. Who are the b'nei Yisrael? B'loshen Rabim. Dasan v'aviram. Dasan v'aviram refused to leave. They said, we're not going to be, we're loyal. We have to be loyal to the state. We're not going to be loyal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're going to choose to be loyal to Paro. We have to be good to the Malchus Shel Chesed. We're going to be good to them. We're going to stay. Paro was hospitable to us all these years. We're going to stay. So Paro said, Dasan Vaviram, look what are your people. They're going in circles. I have reconnaissance. I have spies. They're going in circles.
The drones are circles.
They're lost. But all Paro live naked. So in other words, Dasan Vaviram, they stayed behind. They Taka did not leave. They stayed there. So what happened? They stayed there. They caught up late. They left later. And Chazal said, Hashem did chesed. He split the yam a second time just for them. Just for Dasan Vavirim. Yeah. The second Kriyas Hayam, so because they had Charata. They saw what was happening. They realized, you know what? We made a big mistake. We should have gone. And Hashem went, when the Medrash says, split the yam. But Dasan Vavirim, they stuck around for another day, another couple of days. For a small amount. And what happened to them? Dasan Vaviram. They were shoyev from the Tumah, the Ruach HaTumah of Mitzrayim. And that explains why, that's the proof. That explains why they did not have a good end. And when when the man fell, they're the ones who took the man and put out to try to undermine Moshe Rabbeinu. They're the ringleaders for Korach when Korach rebelled against Moshe Rabbeinu. Korach had a reason to rebel. Korach had covered. Korach was a very exceptional person. But Dasan Vaviram had no business in the rebellion. Korach, you can explain why. You can find with. What does Dasan Vaviram, what do you have to gain from this? What's your business? What?
The 250 men.
Dasan Vaviram had nothing to gain. You have to go through the Indian. I don't know all the details, but Dasan Korach, you can say there was he had chashbonos, he was Shevet Levi, he had tainis, this and that. But Dasan Vaviram had nothing to gain, nothing to gain. So what are you getting involved? How come only you, Dasan Vaviram, went up against Moshe Rabbeinu and everyone else in Klal Yisrael? They didn't cause problems. How come only Dasan Vaviram are the ones that go and taking the mon and sending it out on Shabbos to undermine Moshe Rabbeinu? What's in it for you? They were rotten to the core. Yeah. Why were they rotten to the core more than anyone else in Klal Yisrael? To prove the point that Baruch Shomer Haftachosel Yisrael HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shomer HaKetz, if you remain in Egypt one more minute, you would turn into chametz. You become like, because Dasan Vaviram, they remained, they were shoyev a little bit more tumah from Mitzrayim. We don't understand what it means. Another day, what's the big deal? They stuck around one more day. Hashem, so you're already here for 290 years. One more day, you already will be too late. Really? It's very hard for us to understand why is that so. Well, the truth is, we do have an example. We do have indeed two people. Chazal tell us Dafka did stay over for another 6 days. 6 days. They stuck it out. And look what became of them. Obviously, being part of Egypt, their culture, even that small amount, changed them. The tipping point where it was to even. What?
What about the 4th, 5th Shetoyah?
So that's where Meir's. Okay, so maybe for them already was too late. You have to say for them, but for the rest of Klal Yisrael was not too late. For the rest of Klal Yisrael, that there should be part of Klal Yisrael that would remain. That part, this was the tipping point. This moment in Egypt was a tipping point. Okay, this is just a short idea. Okay, let's go to another short idea. We have the end of the Haggadah. We have the Echad Mi Yodea. And we go up to the number 13. Why did we stop at the number 13? There, you can go all the way up to who knows. You can find a number for anything. What's the significance of number 13? So I saw in Haggadah, because when you add 13 plus 12 plus 11 plus 10 plus 9 plus 8 all the way down to the bottom, what is it up to? Its subtotal is 91. What is 91? 91 is the gematria of Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei, and Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. Adonis and Hashem. Adonis and Hashem represents the synthesis of Midas Hadin Midas Harachmim. B'yoyim B'roy Hashem Elokim. Adonis is mastery that represents Din. Yudkei Vavke, we all know, means the Shem of Rachmim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he judges us. The Shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we the loik Shani Nichtav Ani Nikra. Hashem is pronounced Adonis. It's spelled Yudkei Vavke. It's 91 is a very magical number in Yadus. Okay, you don't need to be a gematria person to appreciate that there are certain numbers that have very great significance. The number 91 is the combination of Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, and Yud Kei Vavke. 26 Yud Kei Vavke. So these two names of Kadosh Baruch Hu represent our connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Loi Kashani Nichtav Ani Nikra. We there's an ideal. We relate to Kadosh Baruch Hu with Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. That's how we pronounce Hashem. But we're striving to come closer to Hashem's essence, which is expressed in Yud Kei Vavke. So you don't have to be a gematria person to appreciate the number 91 is a very significant name. This is the Shem Hashem in its total form. The Neila, that's why the Tseruvim on the end of the Haggadah is up to the number 13, because when you add the number 13, going backwards, what's it called? I've got my math already. 13. What? No. Something simpler. What's it called? Combination? Factorial. That's more. That's addition. Okay, so when you go down, it adds up to 91. Now, as an addendum to this, I saw in the same Haggadah. Why do we say every single day in davening, V'nihi anachnu v'tse'et so'enu v'tse'et so'ei? Some say that they repeat it. There are many more words.
There's a reason for who's
Ben, but there are many other words that we Chazal could have used in the Nusach. V'yeanachnu v'yoytzei chalotzeinu v'yeanachnu uboneinu. Why did Chazal specifically focus on the word v'tse'etzoim? It's not the first word that comes to mind. In fact, it could be that it's not even a real word. I don't even know where this word comes from. V'tse'etzoenu. So they all give v'tse'etzoenu. It's a word which means descendants, but also has the shorish of tzadi aleph. Tzadi aleph is 91. Again, 91 represents that you just don't want to have children. You want to have children who are attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu in its total form is Yud Kei Vavke Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. This is the Shlemus B'yoyim B'roy Hashem Elokim. The Shlemus Kadosh Baruch Hu. The children should be children who are Yorei Shemayim V'tzeh Tzoyinu.
But also by Zivik should be El Yafe.
Yeah. The Zivik should be El Yafe. What's Yafe?
Yafe Hei is 95.
Yeah.
The name should be Yud. We have it Yud Kei Vavke.
Yeah.
It should be Yud Kei Yud Kei.
Right. Well, also, Lavoi.
4 is 95. Ila Yafin. This Zivik should bring it
all the way up to the Lila, to raise it from 91.
Is Bana Echad Mechurvis Yerushalayim. This should be the one that finishes.
So what's 95? Why is it 95 again? 91 plus 4. What's the 4?
Vavke.
Yeah.
Plus the 4 more that it should be Yudke Yudke.
The next shame. All right.
It's
real Kabbalistic stuff. Over my head. Okay, this is heavy duty. Okay, yeah. Same idea. But you're talking about the shame of the day, but it's going to be changed. Well, the also love of Hashem's name will be changed from Yudke Vavke to Yudke Yudke. This is a heavy duty Kabbalah.
What?
Heavy duty Kabbalah. Yudke Vavke to Yudke Yudke, whatever that means. Okay, there's a beautiful var. You know, there is such a chazal that Hashem lost will be Yudke Yudke. Today it's Yudke Vavke. The Sefer Torah, what's the difference between Mashiach and today? What's the chiluk? A vav and a yud. Because the way Hashem is in Yudke Vavke, Mashiach's time is going to be Yudke Yudke. So the difference is between a vav and a yud. If you have a Sefer Torah, and the Sefer Torah is a suffix yud, suffix vav, you can bring the biggest Gedolei Yisrael to paskin the Shiloh.
Right.
Can they paskin? Go bring the greatest of the greats. No one. Who's the only one that can paskin the chiluk between a vav and a yud? A child. What's the Musar Haskel? Who will bring Mashiach? Who's the children? The children are the one who have the koyach to bring Mashiach. Okay, let's go to another. Okay, another idea. Okay, that this I saw this in this Haggadah here in the Hilchos HaPesach by Rabbi Rand, and he says the following idea, very interesting idea. We know that there are multiple contradictions in Chazal as to how many years we were supposed to be in Egypt. By the Bris Spain Hop, some Hashem said to Avraham Avinu, Yodea Tedek Yigei Yerzach V'Yeretz Salehem Avod Avinu Yosom, Arba Me'oshon, 400 years. In actuality, they were only in Egypt for how many years? 210 years. The Sheba was only 86 years. 86 or 87, I always forget. 86.
Well, it says
86. Pay off. Hashem, whatever.
Elokim.
Okay, so we have. But then there's another pasuk that says that when they left Egypt in Parashas Bo, it says 430. So what's going on? All these numbers. 86, 210, 400, 430. So what? So the common answer. Now this is the common answer. Common answer is there were 430 years from the time of the Brisbane Absarim, and there was only 400 years from Leidas Yitzchak. But when they were actually in Egypt, it was 210 years, and the Avodas Perach was for 86 years. Not every Maimon Chazal Medrash agrees with that calculation. That's a very controversial thing. I mean, it's a very basic yisur that we use to calculate the history of the world, but there are problems. And the other approach, which is what he brings out over here, very in some detail in this Rabbi Rand Sefer, is that another approach is really the 430 years is from the time is from 400 years was meant to be from the time of Leidas Yitzchak. I'm getting a little bit confused. Let's take a step back. Let's work in this direction. Maybe there is no contradiction. Let's work in this direction. We know that Shevet Ephraim left 30 years early.
Right.
They made the calculation of Valvadim Ve'inu Yosam Arba Me'oshana, 400 years from the time of Leidas. From the time of the Brisbane Absarim. But the mistake was, it's not 400 years from the Brisbane Absarim, it's 400 years. What was that about? It's 400 years from the time of Leidas Yitzchak. Why did the Bnei Ephraim make that mistake? Why? Bnei Ephraim were the children of Yosef. Now let's take a step back. We know that we drink four koisos. There are multiple remazim, multiple references in the Haggadah that refer to Yosef. Mechiras Yosef. The whole Golus began when they sold Yosef as a slave to Mitzrayim. They sold Yosef. That's how all the events unfolded in Yosef, Klal Yisrael going down to Mitzrayim. The four kosos are connected the four times that the word kos appears, the kos parabiyadi. It says also four times because they sold Yosef four times to the Midianim, the Yishmaelim, to the Mitzrayim, and who else? The Seichem. Four times he was sold. Why is we dip? Why do we dip twice? One of the dipping is because they dipped his Kesonis Apasin Adam. We dip. So we dip to remember that the Chiyuv was done through dipping. Why are we focusing so much on Yosef and the Chiras Yosef? So the answer is, how many years was it from until Yosef became Paro, became Mishnah Lamelech? How old was he? The Pasuk very clearly says he was 30. 30, that's the key. That's the key which makes all the difference. He was 30 years old. There had to be a Golus. Va'avodim bi'inu oisam arba me'oshana. Those 400 years was meant to start from Leidas Yitzchak. 400 years, I take it back, was meant to start from the Brisbane Hapsarim. Va'avodim bi'inu oisam arba me'oshana was meant to be 400 years from the time that the Brisbane Hapsarim. Had we gone out 30 years earlier, who knows what would have been. We would have been a different Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, who knows, they may never have worshipped the eagle. going out 30 years means 30 years less of Shibud, 30 years less of sinking into the mindset, to the contamination of Egypt. We really were meant to go out 30 years earlier to calculate the 300 years from 400 years from the time of the Bris Bein Habsarim as Pshuta Shel Mikra. What went wrong? How were we meant to go down to Egypt? Simple, there would have been a famine. Hashem has no limit, there's no limit of number of ways it could have happened that we would have gone down to Mitzrayim. There was a famine, we would go down to Mitzrayim, one thing went to another, we would go there. Had it be through Mechiras Yosef, that was not meant to be. That was a bonus. That was, unfortunately, a chesaron that the brothers, due to sinas chinam, they hated his very existence. And because they hated his very existence, until they came around to see that, you know, Yosef, you know, the fact that you've risen to the degree of the Mishnah Lemelech, you're not such a bad guy. There's something there. You do have some avodas Hashem. The reason why it took 30 more years was a punishment for Klal Yisrael not recognizing the Shvatim, recognizing the greatness of Yosef, wanting to destroy, to rip out the first 30 years of his life. Yosef became Mishneh LeMelech. He was Omar Lefnei Paro. The events began to unfold when he was exactly 30 years old. Those 30 years were 30 years that the brothers wished they could have obliterated. They wanted to wipe out his existence during those 30 years. You have to finesse this a little bit better. I just want to give you the Rashi Prakim. Mechiras Yosef is what added 30 years to the Sheba. That's his Yisot. And all the pieces of the puzzle fit together very well. Bris Bein Habsarim was supposed to be a gzera of Avonim, V'ina Yosam, Arba, Meo, Shana from the time of the Bris Bein Habsarim. But because, and we would have wound up in Mitzrayim one way or another, but because the brothers did not appreciate the greatness of their brother, there was Sinas Chinam, there was Sinas Achim, and they wanted to wipe out one of their brothers, and it took that brother a number of years to recover until he achieved what he was meant to achieve when he was 30 years old. Those 30 years in his life are held against Klal Yisrael. And the Golus, the Sheba, was extended by 30 years. So that's why it was upgraded. We're going, instead of calculating from the time of the Bris Bein Habsarim, we're going to calculate the 400 years from Leidas Yitzchak, and the extra 30 years will be viewed backwards from the Bris Bein Habsarim. But those 30 years really is Mida Keneged Mida for denying Yosef his life for 30 years. Yosef felt rejected from day one. The day he was born until he became who he was. He was the first time Yosef felt appreciated. He felt good in his life was when Paro said, "You're going to be my Mishnah Lamelech." Until that point in time, Yosef's life was a horror. The day he was born, who was this kid? Who is this? Who does he think he is? He's from the wrong mother. He's from Rachel. He's not from Leah. They didn't like him from day one. He was rejected from day one. And then they sold him. He was a slave in Egypt. He was in Potiphar. He was always, finally, now 30 years old, someone appreciates me. I have a place in this world. Those 30 years that Kadosh Baruch Hu had great tsar, why does he have to suffer like this? It's unjust. Who is responsible for this injustice? The brothers. You're responsible, you're going to pay. You're going to suffer an additional 30 years, the Shiva Mitzrayim. We're going to go from 400 years to 430 years. And that has major consequences. The major consequences of being in Mitzrayim for 30 years certainly took their toll on Klal Yisrael. It definitely reduced them to a low madrega. And that madrega certainly contributed to the Egel, it contributed to the Meraglim, it contributed to the Misanim, to many factors which they found themselves in trouble in the lower madrega, not ready for Yitzias Mitzrayim 100%.
One other thing that Gemara Bar Basra says, that the reason that Shevet Ephraim was killed,
yeah,
because what did they forget to do?
Because they were not part.
They got the bones of Yosef when they left. So ki ashbei ashbia pokod yivkora lemeschem.
Right, they forgot about Yosef,
and they left Yosef's bones there. So they still rejected, and they were from Shevet Ephraim.
And also, some learned that they didn't. They weren't rejecting the rest of Klal Yisrael. This is how he explains this here in the Sefer. When they left 30 years old, they said, "That's right. We'll see you later, guys.
Tomorrow on the passage.
We'll see you later." We were not part of Bnei Yosef. We don't have to suffer another 30 years. So you, Klal Yisrael, you, the other Shvatim who rejected our father, our grandfather Yosef, you have to pay the debt. But we don't have to pay this debt. So we're not. the average person understands that when the Bnei Ephraim, they left 30 years old, they were saying, you're making a big mistake. Mashiach is here, it's time to go. You're a bunch of fools. You stay behind. You're losers. We're the survivors. No! You have to stay another 30 years because you sold our father. You rejected 30 years of his life. And we don't have that debt. So we're going to get a head start. We're going to get a head start. And we'll see in 30 years from now, we'll set up shop. We'll be Makabal the Torah. We'll get you ready. That was a mistake because we're all part of one. Everyone, Yosef, Chazal also, to some degree, they blame Yosef. Yosef provoked his brothers. Yosef was also partially guilty. Yosef, he brought the dreams to his father, to the brothers. He said Lashon Hara. Yosef also, in some small way or form, was also partially guilty. So therefore, they should not have left 30 years prematurely.
Why it's also, yeah, go ahead.
Was that as far as they were saying, you, the rest of you, you took against our father? Why didn't Menashe go then? Why didn't only Ephraim go?
Because maybe Menashe understood that Yosef also was guilty. No one came out innocent from Chivas Yosef. Chazal say this.
That's where the Abarbanel goes into Beata. I told you last year, Beata Altei Otzvu. Now, don't be sad now. You're going to pay for it later.
Later. Right. Now, later. 30 years.
Today...
You're okay.
Go to sleep.
Okay, let me glue with the var on the Chad Gadya. This var, I thought it was my var, but I think the Chassam Sofer really says this part. Chad Gadya, we're not going into all the mystical meanings of Chad Gadya. I have no idea what these things mean, but the average person understands the Chad Gadya. We only have one Gadya. Chad Gadya. The Zavina betrays us. Chad Gadya. Right? There's only one Gadya, and the Gadya was bitten by the cat. And then the dog comes, bites the cat, and then the stick comes and hits the dog, and so on and so forth. But there's only one Gadya. There's only one Gadya that Zabina betrays Uze. So the Chassam Sofer seems to say, if that's really the case, why do we repeat Chad Gadya twice? Chad Gadya, the Zabina betrays Uze, Chad Gadya. There's only one Gadya. Why are we repeating at every stanza, Chad Gadya? So the answer is, and why is it betray Zuze? It should be, you want to discuss something that only cost it's insignificant. It should be one puta. The Zabnaba, the Zuze, what's the tray Zuze? So the Chassam Sofer, the secret is that there are two Gadyas. There are two Gadyas. Each Gadya costs a Zuz. There's a Chad Gadya. The Zabinaba betrays Zuze. They paid two Zuz to buy two Gadyas. Who are the two Gadyas? Mesamel. Now, he doesn't say all of these words. I'm just trying to embellish a little bit. It represents Yaakov and Esav. When Yaakov and Esav were born, V'hinei Soyamim Bevitna. Look at that. Rivka gave birth to twins. Two children, a Yaakov and an Esav. Okay, they weren't exactly identical, but, you know, two great nations will come forth from your womb. Two. What happened? What happened to these two nations? At every step in history, there's always been the Ummah, among the Ummah Sa'olam, there's always been one dominant force. There's always a superpower. And that superpower in every generation transforms itself, it morphs into a different superpower. Whether it's going to be the Babylonians, it's going to be the Persians, it's going to be the Greeks, it's going to be in Edom, Rome, it's going to be the Islam, whatever it's going to be, it's always transforming from one superpower to another superpower. At the same time that this Gadya transforms from one, the other Gadya remains loyal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You start off with Yaakov and Esav. In the beginning it was Chad Gadya, how beautiful. Two little children, they both go to Cheder, they both look alike, they both play with each other, they're both exactly the same. All of a sudden they become Bar Mitzvah. So one is a Gadya, and one already has been transformed into the Shunra. And we all reflect, look, Chad Gadya. Look what became of one Gadya, look what became of the other Gadya. One Gadya, they're still loyal, the same Gadya. The other one has transformed itself into a Shunra. Go down another generation. That Gadya has now been transformed into a dog. But the other Gadya, what?
What was the bracha that Yitzchak told him to do? Shnei Gadya Yizim. Well, that's for the bite of bracha for Yaakov and Esav. He told Esav
to bring shnei gidoyei izim. So what's the connection?
You have to say Gadya.
It was better.
Yaakov and Esav. Connected both of you. Connected both of you.
Because the parsha say Yitzchak Avamina was that they would rule together.
Shnei Gadya. Okay, and Achanan, so it fits. It fits very well. It fits very well.
Well, that's my point.
And now you go through history. Calm down, then you go all the way to the end of history. At the end of history, what has become of Esav? What has become of that little Esav that was once a Gadya? Well, it came to the Geshunra, it came the dog, it came the stick, it came the fire, the water, and then came the Torah, and then came the Sheichet. It keeps on transforming more. The Sheichet, you can dash in every generation. Sheichet became a human being, sophisticated people, mankind, you know, man of reasoning, and then became a Mashchis, and ultimately man turns into a Malach HaMavis. Man becomes the Esav, turns into the Malach HaMavis. And at the very end, what happens then, at every single point in time? Look at Klal Yisrael and look at the Umos Esav. Klal Yisrael is the same Gadya. Nothing has changed. Loyal to tradition. Those who keep the faith, they have the Mesorah, the same Gadya. But the other Gadya keeps on changing every single day until ultimately, V'osa melech malchi alocha kodesh baruch hu, v'shochat l'malach hamoves. And who's left? Who's left? Only one Gadya. Who's left at the one that's all over? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is left with the Chad Gadya, with Klal Yisrael. Together, they enjoy the world. They are the only ones that are remaining. Yeah, there's only one at the end. At the end, but it's always a reflection. It's a reflection of what has happened. We start out Chad Gadya, the Zavna betrays Zuzay. And look, one Gadya is always the same Gadya, and one Gadya is just transforming. And the very end of the transformation, the last Gadya is gone. Hashem is left. Who is Hashem left to share the world with? The other Gadya. The other Gadya is the one that was loyal to the Gadya. Okay. With this, we will conclude. Have a wonderful day.